Brad Hayes, Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College, our political scientist in residence right here at WAMC. Okay, listen, Brad, I got to ask you a question. This huge turmoil in the White House. We know that Donald Trump had a program in which he was very fond of saying, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. Doesn't feel bad about that, just fires people. And I think that that may be going on right now in the White House. So, Brad, I guess I want to ask you, start out by asking you this question. You know, we have Steve Bannon and we have the president. So tell me what we expect of that relationship.
Bannon obviously seemed like he was in hot water for a little while. Trump had taken a stronger position on what happened in Charlottesville for about 22 hours or something. And, you know, people were saying, well, you know, Bannon's, you know, he's on his way out, you know, that he we have to, you know, the White House has to begin to distance itself from this kind of appearance of being sympathetic to white nationalists, and Bannon being in some ways the poster child for that. However, Trump, of course, goes right back to taking the position where he blamed both sides, that he appeared to be somewhat sympathetic to the claims of white nationalists.
Otherwise known as Nazis.
Yeah, the Nazi. I'm using that as a catch-all group for, you know, all white supremacists. And this is...
So Bannon is saying, So Bannon is saying, I believe, to the president, hey, Prez, I got you elected using this with a particular constituency. You got to do what I say, not what the liberals tell you to do.
I think that's right. Okay, so let's unpack this a little bit further. And so Bannon in the last election and Trump seemed to realize that the things that used to matter in politics, right, things like virtue or morality or truth or service.
Well, the way you treat women.
You know, sure. You know, we could go on and on. That those things no longer matter. Right. That you could. I mean, Donald Trump comes to national political prominence on the birther issue, something that was, you know, empirically false and racist. Right. So this is something that helps move him forward. It helps him. It doesn't seem to hurt him. Even looking at polling numbers. Right. There was a Quinnipiac poll back in March that showed 50% of registered Republican voters believe that 3 to 5 million people voted illegally in the 2016 election, right? So in other words, there are a lot of Republicans out there that are just willing to go along for the ride. Trump and Bannon seem to know this and know that in some ways it works, right? Because if we're looking at kind of the future of the Republican Party, Republicans realize that they are losing the national numbers game, right? You know, Clinton wins by, you know, nearly 3 million votes. Young people in the United States are identifying as highly liberal. The coalition of kind of old white men is fading. And Trump's victory was 75,000 voters in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, right? What gets you those kinds of states, right? It's not going to be about numbers. It's going to be about turnout and enthusiasm. Conservatives seem like they're eating up, you know, kind of Trump's controversial rhetoric, right? They love that combativeness, that attack against the media, the attack against the left. Right. So in thinking about kind of the appeal that there seems to be for Trump in supporting or at least not condemning neo-Nazis, right, is a really that it's a kind of a bundled concept that is really about hostility to political correctness. Right. That Trump campaigned explicitly against being politically correct. He said, if you want political correctness, you know, vote for Rubio, don't vote for me. I'm going to tell it like it is. And that he sees this as, you know, telling it like it is. Right. And so he sees, at least it's arguable that he sees his future in the same thing that brought him to success in 2016, which is about enthusiasm, And it's about turnout for his core group. And so he doesn't want to do anything that's going to affect that. And the degree to which he associates that with Bannon, right, suggests that Bannon isn't marginalized, that he is still central. Whether or not Bannon himself survives, that ideology, that idea of Bannon has certainly taken hold in the president. And it is in some ways an animating principle behind what we've seen.
So that's interesting, because you've mentioned what Trump needs to do. Of course, when you mention enthusiasm, Professor, there is the whole idea that the Democrats may be getting a lot more enthusiasm from some of the people who stayed home and sat down without going to the polls.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's a really good point. It's like, what's the effect on the other side? I mean, that this seems to be a play to his base with either indifference to what it does on the left or just ignorance of what it's doing on the left. But the counter-mobilization already exists, right? I mean, this is one of the things that is very clear. We saw that, in the immediate aftermath of his inauguration. We saw it when the travel ban went into effect, the instant protests and the size of those protests. That exists. We know that that exists. We know that that enthusiasm is already there. It may, for Trump, be more about, okay, let's see if I can combat enthusiasm with enthusiasm. And that enthusiasm that he's attempting to motivate is about this attack on political correctness or the things that many Americans hold very, very dear.
Yeah. But listen, Brad, remember he said to black people, you should go out and vote for me because what have you got to lose?
Yeah.
Well, now people know what they had to lose. There's no question about that. It will, and you said it was, the election was decided in these three American states by how much? 175,000 votes?
75,000.
75,000 votes. So not a lot of votes. So now, if all of a sudden people who didn't vote decide they are going to vote, that could be the end of him.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he is extraordinarily vulnerable, right? 34% approval rating, whether that goes up or down. I mean,
no, it's going down.
It may be going down, although, it's one of those things. It's one of the, I think, and this is what's really interesting, right? He's been, kind of ping-ponging between, 34% and 38%. He's just kind of in that.
Well, it depends on the polls you're looking at, but the general gist is they're all going down.
Right, but the number of Americans who identify as conservative is 36%, right? And it's been like that for a few years, which is a number, by the way, that's kind of historically going down.
Very interesting.
Yeah. But whatever the case, so it may be that his numbers actually don't dip much because of this. Maybe a little bit, but it may be that we've really hit upon his core supporters that are just going to support him no matter what, right? That is their guy.
Yeah, but is that enough to get him elected?
It is not, right? That's the thing. I mean, one of the things that you have to do in this is recognize that, Trump was very much an unknown in 2016, right? Well, of course, there's a lot of scrutiny about his campaign, and we knew a lot about him.
People could project whatever they wanted.
But they were able to say, maybe when he gets into the White House, he'll be different, and he'll bring this style that'll be really effective. He's the great negotiator. He'll be a wild success. But we know that's not the case thus far, right? That he has not had any major legislative accomplishments. He's been highly divisive in office, and independents have left him in terms of the polls. Obviously, the left is extremely motivated to get him out. And so that is not a very good formula going into a general election. That being said, there's still a lot of time left. So, we have to kind of stay tuned.
Well, Brad Hayes is our wonderful in-house political scientist and associate professor of political science at Union College. As always, Brad, we are so delighted to see you. Thanks for coming.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks, Alan.